This evening we invite you to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. And we'll be reading just a few verses here. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan was 910 years and he died. And then skipping down just a few verses here, it says in Jared, verse 19, lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 960 years and 62 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch was 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then skipping down to verse 28, it says, and Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech was 777 years, and he begot and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. This morning we began by asking the question, why do we have the accounts which are given to us here in Genesis 4 through Genesis 11? Why didn't Moses write about other descendants of Adam, as we can see there were other descendants of Adam? Why didn't he write about them in more detail rather than that of Cain and Abel, that of Noah, as we come in to the sixth chapter? As you look at these chapters, you find that there are various themes that are throughout these chapters. Part of our message tonight is sin, judgment, grace, and deliverance. And as we look at these next few chapters here in the book of Genesis, we're going to see that these themes are interwoven throughout these chapters. First of all, as we consider Genesis 5 here, as we read the verses here, we have a genealogy. It's genealogy of Adam, and you'll note that it is through that of Seth. And it comes all the way down to that of Noah. One thing that is throughout this chapter and this genealogy is the phrase, "and he died." And he died. And he died. And he died. And he died. There is actually one exception. Where that phrase is not found, and it has to do with that of one by the name of Enoch in verse 21. It says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. As we think about that of the themes of sin, judgment, grace, and deliverance, we find all of those themes really in this chapter. You say, well, where do we find that of sin? We find sin in that as we consider the descendants of that of Adam here, it tells us, with the exception of one, that they all died. They all died. And why did they die? Well, looking back, but out of the earlier chapters, we know in chapter 3 we have the fall of man. Chapter 2 we had the Lord where He spoke to that of Adam. And He created man. He said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And we know what happened. The serpent came and Eve was deceived. She partook of that forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and gave it to her husband, and he likewise partook of it. And they died. Now, as we noted this morning, they were thrust out of the garden, out of paradise. Paradise was lost, and the actual execution of physical death was not executed immediately. But they did die. They died in that sin separated them from God. And as we come into Genesis chapter 5, we see the very words that the Lord told Adam, that in the day that thou partakest of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt die. We see that of the physical aspect of that judgment. And what was the reason? Because of sin. Because of disobedience. Because of rebellion against God. Because of insubordination. So as we look at Genesis 5 and we consider the genealogy of Adam with the exception of one, we see sin, we see judgment being executed. But also, when we consider the exception, we see the other two things. That of grace and deliverance. Enoch. We're told that he lived 65 years and begot Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God. Now, what was different about Enoch? What was different about Enoch?
Was there really anything different about Enoch?
Why didn't he die?
Was he not a sinner either?
Or wasn't he a sinner?
Yes, he was a sinner. He was a sinner just like that of his father.
It says Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. Enoch's father died. And beloved, it goes right back to that of Adam and that of sin and that of the judgment. For as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, for all have sinned. But coming back to Enoch, we have that question, well, why? He was an exception. Over the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews writing of those who he picks out as men of faith. In verse number 5, he says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Enoch was translated. Yes, Enoch was an exception. He was an exception. He was one, we might say, was highly favored. He was one who was a recipient of God's amazing grace. Now, that's not to say that the others who are mentioned here in the genealogy of that of Adam, that they weren't favored also. Because they were. But Enoch was an exception. And we're told with regards to him that he walked with God. He walked with God. Now, as we think about that of the garden, Adam and Eve walked with God also. They enjoyed that of fellowship with God prior to that of them partaking of that forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then it was then that the relationship was broken. Enoch stands as an example of that of God's grace. And we can say of deliverance. Deliverance from what? Deliverance from death. God took him. God translated him. So we have sin, judgment, grace, and deliverance in chapter 5. At the end of Genesis 5, we're introduced to one by the name of Noah. In verse 32, it says, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, as we enter into the
first few verses of Genesis chapter 6, we're told of the wickedness of man. We're told of the population, of a population explosion, we might say, here upon the earth. Adam and Eve, they produced, their descendants, they produced, and now we see that of the multiplication of that of people upon the earth. And not only do we see the multiplication of people upon the earth, we also see that of the progression of sin, and that it has gone throughout the earth. Verse 1, it says, "It came to pass when men began to multiply the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." God saw the wickedness upon the face of the earth. He saw that the imagination of man was evil continually, the Scripture tells us. Now, we already know that some of these verses here are very difficult as far as interpretation. And our purpose here is not to go there tonight. We've looked at this before in the past. What I want us to focus on here tonight is that of the sin, that of the wickedness that is spoken of here. And God says, I'm going to destroy. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping things, and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. As we look at the remaining chapters here, chapters 7, 6, 7, 8, and 9, we see that very thing come to pass. We see that God brings that of destruction. He destroys that of man here upon the earth. He brings judgment upon the earth. And what is the reason? It's because of that of sin. It's because of the wickedness of man here. But again, we would say to you, in that of the midst of the darkness, there is that of light. There is hope that is set forth. And that hope is found in the next few verses that we read. In verse number 8, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." You'll note that little word, "but," there. It is indeed out of a "but" of contrast here. I believe that we can say without doubt. Because we have that of the wickedness of man, God's determination to destroy man because of that of the wickedness, bringing judgment upon that of them because of their sin and wickedness. But then, here in verse 8, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." In the midst of all of this darkness, God shows favor. This favor is spoken of with regards to one. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Again, we ask the question, was it because Noah was different? Was it because Noah was not a descendant of that of Adam? That Noah was not a sinner? Absolutely not. Noah was indeed a descendant of Adam. And that's made very clear back in chapter 5. But beloved, how glorious this is. In the midst of all of this darkness, God shows His favor to that of one by the name of Noah, and not only that of Noah, but that of also that of his family. His three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and that of their wives. And of course, Mrs. Noah. Don't want to lose them. Don't want to leave her out. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, evidently Noah did something good, didn't he? He had to have done something good to have found that of this favor that God showed him. No, he didn't. It says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God showed favor. And his family. We've already seen sin and judgment. Now we see grace again. We see grace, and we see that of the characteristics or the results of that grace. Back in Genesis 5, where it says Enoch walked with God, we said there was grace, and indeed there was. There was favor shown there to that of Enoch. And beloved, evidence of that amazing grace in that we're told that he walked with God. There was a relationship between that of Enoch and God. And beloved, as we come to that of Noah, we find that there is also that same relationship. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Again, we have that same statement. Enoch walked with God. Now we have Noah walking with God. What's the difference? Beloved, none other than that of the grace of God. So Noah begot three sons, verse 10, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with more second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But, here we have another but with thee will I establish my covenant
And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Verse 22, it says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. There's two words here in chapter 6 that we find for the first time. And those two words are grace and that of covenant. Need to take note of that. The Lord says unto Noah in verse 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come to the ark. Thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Note here, beloved, the Lord is the one who is the initiator. He says, I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wives, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of flesh, two of every sort. God makes a covenant here. This covenant is with Noah. And it is a covenant. With God as the initiator and the one who is the signee. The one who is under obligation. Beloved, this is grace. This is grace. God showing grace to Noah, his descendants, and not only to Noah and that of his descendants, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their wives and Mrs. Noah, but, beloved, he tells Noah that certain animals are to come on the boat. What does this all tell us? But as we think about what we have here before us, it tells us once again that God is not true with that of humanity. That His purpose has not come to completion. But that He is a purpose. One that He is bringing about. We know the rest of the story. The Lord told Noah to come into the ark. All the animals came. Noah and his family went in. And God shut them in. And the rain came. Judgment upon that of this wicked world. And the inhabitants of this wicked world. But in all of that darkness, and even in that of the judgment, we see God's grace and that of deliverance. God keeping His word. bringing about His purpose. Beloved, the revelation that we have here, God's special revelation is a progressive revelation. And as we come forward from that of the very beginning of Genesis, progressively, God's purpose, His gracious purpose, is made known. His gracious purpose to have that of a people for Himself. A people who are His subjects. A people who submit to that of His rule. The 8th chapter of Romans says, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth and the water to say, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the Mount of Ararat, and the waters decreased continuing till the 10th month, and the 10th month on the first day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen." From the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And in verse number 5 it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Noah believed God. Noah obeyed God. Noah was chosen by God. Then as we come out of the 9th chapter, verse 1, it says, "God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea, and into your hands are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall he not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful, and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl of the cattle and of the beasts of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more mere flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is a token of the covenant which I make with you, between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for a perpetual generation. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth, And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I'll look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Again, we see here some similar things which we saw back earlier in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, or at the end of chapter 1, we see the Lord made male and female, and that they were to multiply. They were given the command to multiply, to be fruitful. We see that very thing here again, only now it is with that of Noah and that of his descendants. You might say that we have here a new beginning. Judgment has passed, and now there's a new beginning. And we also have the word covenant being used again. And God giving a sign as that of a testimony of the fact that of what He promises. That He'll never destroy the earth again with a flood. What does this speak of? Beloved, as we go on forward into that of the Word of God, into that of looking at the storyline of the Bible, we're going to see that covenants play a big part in that of the storyline. And they not only play a big part in the storyline, but they speak, beloved, of that of God's purpose. God's purpose, again, to have a people for Himself in His place, under His rule. Chapter 10, we have that of the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We note back in chapter 9, Noah got drunk. Kind of shocking, isn't it? What would be our reaction? Beloved, in asking that question, I don't want you to go away saying that Brother Steve, you know, that he brings Noah out here as an example, and it's all right to get drunk. It's not. But beloved, you see, in the account that is given to us of Noah playing a vineyard, and by that he gets drunk, we see that sin is still active, even after the flood. We have the descendants of that of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Then we come to chapter 11.
Verse 1 says, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Let us make us a name. Here again we have the boastful, sinful, plans of men. The Lord came down to see the city and tower which the children of men built. That's interesting, isn't it? Earlier in verse 4 says, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Well, that must have been a tall tower, huh? But then in the next verse we see the Lord came down. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. Wasn't very big at all. And the Lord God said, behold, the people was one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Interesting statement there. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language. Let us. We have that same phrase back in Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man after our image, after our likeness. We have the triune God back in Genesis chapter 1, and we have the triune God here in Genesis chapter 11. And we have judgment being brought upon the people. And that judgment is that of the confusion of language. At the very end of Genesis chapter 12, verse 31, or verse 27, it says, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begot Lot. Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in the Ur of Chaldees. And Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscar. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into the Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. At the very end of chapter 11, we have the genealogy of Terah, and we have the name of one man that is going to become very prominent. And the reason why he's going to become very prominent is because of what the Lord's going to do with him. Sin, judgment, grace, and deliverance. Those are themes found throughout these chapters. And they tell us, they reveal to us, they give us a revelation of the King.
that of Jehovah and who He is. His grace, His mercy, His goodness. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As we think of that of Cain, God showed goodness, His goodness to Cain. Actually, we could say that Cain was a recipient and is of God's goodness. And beloved, we think of Romans where Paul speaks about the goodness of God leading us to repentance. God showed His goodness to that Cain. He says, if thou doest well, thou will be accepted. Beloved, is that not the same today? Are we not all here recipients of that of the goodness of God in the fact that He's given us life? He's made provisions for us? And beloved, how that should cause us, beloved, to see what a gracious God He is. What a God of love He is. And how that it ought to lead us back to Him. His grace, His mercy, His goodness. God was merciful. Merciful to that of Noah and his family. Gracious unto them. He didn't have to show His grace unto Noah, just like any of the individuals down through time that He's shown His grace to. No, God would have been just had back there in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve broke the commandment that He had given unto them. He would have been just. He would have been righteous had He wiped them out. But He didn't. We see His judgment. We see His wrath in the flood. And we see His mighty deliverance. We see His faithfulness to His work. Beloved, we see God's commitment. Commitment to His purpose to save the people for Himself. What about you tonight? Where do you stand? You know this one who is revealed here in these Scriptures, who is gracious, merciful, good, just, and faithful to His word, who is forgiven. Let us stand. Let's have a closing hymn. In your bulletins, we have a hymn that we used to sing here. Let us stand. Since our theme is the Lord theme in our music today has been sin and forgiveness, though your sin be as far sin. Though your sins be as scarlet,
They shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be as white as snow. Hear the voice that entreats you, O return me unto God. Hear the voice that entreats you, O return me unto God. He is a great compassion and a wondrous love. Hear the voice that entreats you. Hear the voice that entreats you. Oh, return thee unto God. Oh, return unto God. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. Look unto me,
Spirit, live for thy honor and thy glory. Father, these things we pray.